We are creatures of habit. I do not need to tell a church full of Episcopalians this. We love our habits. Our worship mostly stays the same each Sunday, no matter where in the country you are. Our scriptures are preset on a 3-year rotation, and some of us even sit in the pews, the same pews, each and every Sunday. Whether we know it or not, our life is filled with habits. Our habits are not only when we pray, but when we live and work. Most of us go to bed at a certain hour each night. We wake up and have a morning ritual, usually involving caffeine of some sort, and that's probably for the best for those around us. We go to work or volunteer at the same time or on the same day. And we have those loved ones who never cease to call each day or week at around the same time. And God knows that in a college town, so many of our habits are built around the rhythms of the academic year. And let's be clear, sometimes habits may even involve picking up the phone and doom scrolling through social media or news, or picking up the TV remote and binge watching a show on a couch for an hour or two or five. Habits may be life-giving and grounding, like that call from a loved one. And habits may be life-draining and disorienting, like that one episode too many at the end of the day. Yet the habits remain. We in the church are not shy about habits. We know that we are creatures of habits. And we know that habits have the potential to shape us in holiness, in the likeness of God, or to shape us in the image of a perhaps less edifying habit. So we, as Episcopalians, pray in yearly, weekly, and daily rhythms to habituate ourselves again and again into the Trinity's ever-present presence. Well, that's the intention, anyway. The reality can be very different. Let's be honest, there are times in our life, times I know that are present right now in our church community, when our habits fall apart. A retirement comes after a 40-year career. A loved one passes after decades of sharing life together. A house, a home that we must leave only to begin again in a whole new environment. Instead of being creatures of habit, we may feel like creatures of havoc when our rhythms, routines, and rituals are disrupted. After 2 years of the week in, week out habit of parish and campus ministry here in Huntsville, I've been feeling just that kind of havoc in my life lately. Like driving down 45 in a Texas thunderstorm, some days have felt like the road is washed out in front of me. I can't tell up from down, the gray concrete from the gray sky. Cannot tell which lane I'm in. I don't know where the other cars are. The highway, that is life, can even feel unrecognizable. The one thing I do know, however, is that I'm moving forward, mile by mile, step by step, and the storm will eventually clear. I say all of this, but anyone going through a life transition knows it doesn't make it any easier. When our habits are scrambled, it can feel like we're just surviving. The rain is pelting our windshield, and we may feel blinded with anxiety, confusion, or sorrow. Sometimes we spin the story that we are the anxiety, confusion, or sorrow. Today, on this Trinity Sunday, we are told another story. A story so large that it can hold the anxiety, confusion, and sorrow. A story so true that it can transform the havoc when things fall apart. A story of a God who is not just about a religion, but a God who is about a living relationship. A relationship of making space, wider and wider space, for all of us to join in the divine dance. First, we need to do what we do when we're driving through those apocalyptic Texas storms. The only way to make it through those washed out roads and blurred windshields is to slow down. When we slow down, the road becomes a little clearer. Our heart rate becomes a little slower. Our breath becomes a little softer, even though the weather hasn't changed a bit. Even though the rain continues to fall hard and fast like a changed habit. When we slow down, we can see it all for what it really is. And somehow, it becomes a little bit more manageable. It isn't havoc anymore. It just is. First, my friends, we need to slow down. When we slow down in our spiritual lives, we do not see God as a distant or lone entity, nor do we see God as two dualistic entities, like a father and son rivalry. When we slow down, we as Christians experience God as a Trinity, a sustainer in balance yet flowing, a redeemer of all might yet self-giving, a creator distinct yet in constant relationship, a God who is three persons yet one in essence. The essence, of course, is love. The persons, of course, are the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune, or three-in-one, God is a God of a shared life, a life never alone, yet constantly unfolding between three persons in love. It is an intimate kind of love, a familial love, an unconditional love. This movement of love we find again and again in the Gospels. The love of the Father, who truly sees when God says, "Behold, my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased," at Jesus' baptism. The love of God the Son, who unites heaven and earth when the Word made flesh, Jesus, says, "The Father and I are one," to the disciples in John's Gospel. The love of God the Holy Spirit, who witnesses to this love when Christ is crucified on the cross, when the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, is dead. The Spirit remains, witnessing, a ministry of presence, an unbreakable bond, an act of love. The 4th century church fathers knew this movement of love between the persons of the Trinity. They called it in Greek perichoresis, and it can be translated from two roots. One is peri, which means to go around, like in a circle, and chorin, which means to make space. We find each member of the Trinity making space for the other in a circle of love. That's the movement of the Trinity. Like the icon on the front of your bulletins, an icon by Andrei Rublev, the Russian iconographer. Each person of the Trinity you see depicted in that icon is looking outward. The gaze of the member of the person of the Trinity is not self-directed. It's not a navel-gazing gaze. It is connected, in union, flowing outward in an infinite circle of making space. The triune God makes space. It is God's very nature. And by the fact of our creation, God made space within the Trinity for you, to join in the dance of love between the Father and the Son of the Father and the Father, and the witnessing bond of the Spirit that runs between. In fact, if we gaze at that icon, we see the three-in-one God inviting us to join in that Trinitarian communion. We are seated at the other end of that table in the icon. We are seated at the other end of the table to make space within ourselves, to join the Trinitarian dance of love. And let me tell you, the pace of the Trinity's love is slow. When the Trinity created the cosmos in 6 days, on the seventh day, God did not say, "Well, there you are, off to the races now, let's get going." God rested, as Scripture tells us. Not only rested, but I was reminded as we heard Chris read the Scripture, God rested and hallowed the rest, made holy the rest. God, the Trinity, in other words, slowed down. There is a Finnish proverb that says, "God did not create in a hurry." We could say that in the present tense. God does not create or even recreate in our lives in a hurry. When our habits are turned on their head, when the world feels upside down, when anxiety, confusion, and sorrow run rampant, God does not recreate in a hurry. Remember, God's time is not our time. Time is a creation of God's, just like we are. To God, time is eternity. Anyone in Kairos knows this. Time is eternity to God. It is why when we feel a moment of timelessness in our lives, we are glimpsing eternity. We are seeing life with the Trinity. And yet, if you're anything like me, we can treat time itself like a god, worshiping the calendar, serving the schedule, or praying at the altar of the clock. We can mistake what seems to be urgent for what is important. The important, that is to slow down, to make space, and to turn our gaze Godward. The Trinity made unhurried space within eternity for you to grow in God's likeness and image. For love to take root and grow in you. How will you make space for God? John Mark Comer, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, says, "Hurry and love are like oil and water. They simply do not mix." Hence, in the Apostle Paul's definition of love, the first descriptor is patience. He goes on to quote the late Japanese theologian Kosuke Koyama, who says, "God walks slowly because God is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It is an inner speed. It is a spiritual speed. It is a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we are accustomed. It is slow, yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love. When we slow down, we can love at the speed of the Trinity. Whether you feel right now like a creature of habit or a creature of havoc in your life, may you never forget that by the sheer reality of your breathing in your pew right now, you are caught in a circle of the Trinity's ever-expanding, self-emptying love. The traces of the Trinity are beyond you, among you, and within you. You bear the image of that love. You were made for that love. So make space for it. Slow down to see it. Start small. Even a mustard seed can move mountains.